Or 20 minutes. I know. But you have to promise me that when you leave here, that you're going to legitimately think about the things that I talked about and brought out from the scripture and make a determination about yourself, where you're at. That's an important part, that you don't leave here and don't think about it at all. Super critical. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm a firm believer that that if the right things are said in a duration, that a guy can say the same amount 15 minutes that a guy can say in an hour if it's said correctly. And it can make the same amount of change in your heart in 15 minutes. But don't get me wrong. I like to hear some guys talk for an hour. I mean, just they're really good at it. I had put a class together for this. The lock-in. I had two lock-ins in a row, two weekends in a row, so I'm a little delirious at this point, but I thought it would be interesting because as we evolve into a new body, so to speak, with Marshall being president and having an evangelist again, and things shifting and changing about times and how we operate and what we do, that there's still a need for us to figure out how we fill our role here in the local body and how we fill it in the kingdom as a whole. Because when a new guy comes in, he sits and he observes. And if he's the evangelist that God desires him to be, he then puts people in positions to be successful themselves spiritually and for the kingdom as a whole spiritually. And when that happens, it's not always easy to have the humility that you need to be put in the role that's needed. I know that, I'll explain more about that in a minute. John chapter 1, I'm going to start in chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse number 15, and I'm going to read through 21. It reads like this: John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ, and no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent him to the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' He said, 'Are you a prophet?' And he said, 'No.'" And so when I think about that text, I know it's a strange text, but when I think about someone who knew their role, that's where I defaulted. A guy who knew he wasn't the most important, a guy who knew he had work to do, and a guy who was unashamed of the work he was doing. That's a big deal. They ask him a question when he's on the press. They say, "Are you the Christ?" He says, "Nope." "Are you Elijah?" "Nope." "You a prophet?" "Nope." He commences to tell them that he's the one preparing the way. And sometimes I think it's really hard to know your role. You ever get in a routine where you come to the assembly, and particularly those who aren't leading songs, teaching a class, or preaching? So I'm particularly addressing you guys maybe who aren't doing those things. You ever get in a rut where you come to the assembly and that's just what you do, and you're here and you're glad to be here, and I mean, you go and you're living your life and you're doing your thing, and that's what it is. And then maybe you ask yourself, like, who am I here? What am I doing here? Like, what can I possibly do for the church? I mean, there are so many other people that are so much further ahead of me, or they know the Bible so much more, or Like, what's my place? How can I contribute? How can I make a difference? Or they might think of themselves like, man, I'm really not that good at very many things. Or, I guess I'll do it if somebody asks. Those are normal thoughts of people. I have personally testified to people telling me those thoughts. Like, they just feel insignificant when they're not here or serving the Lord's Supper or teaching a class. And that's not fair. Are we all not created for the glory of the Father? Are we all not in a position to bring glory to His name? Have we not been made for the same purpose? So, I want you to ask yourself a question, all of us, whether you're teachers or not. Where can my talents be used? Don't think about everybody else, but think about what you can do for the advancement of the kingdom. What can you do personally? I'm a firm believer that the next step that we go here as a church, that's going to be a very critical question, because it's going to need everybody on board. Everybody is going to need to take their part. Not for it to work, because it's going to work. If it's of God, it's going to work. But to be most productive for the movement of the kingdom. If we're going to be something, we're going to make waves, if we're going to win souls, everybody's going to have to participate. You guys remember in Judges 6th, 7th chapter when Gideon is about to fight the war, and he's got 32,000 men, and God says, hey, you've got 32,000 men. He's going to fight the Amalekites, and God says, that's too many, and he whittles them all the way down to 300 men. And in Judges chapter 7, verse number 21, he says, and every man stood in his place. What happens to this guy if that guy and that guy aren't where they're supposed to be in the battle? It's bad news, ain't it? If this guy's facing this way and nobody's watching this way, what happens when that guy and that guy aren't where they're supposed to be? Is this guy who's standing here any more important than this guy standing here? No. But the position of which they stand and the job in which they do, pretty critical to the battle. I think that all of us got to find our place and actually stand in it. Not talk about standing in it, but just do it. So if we all have a place to stand, and it just so happens that all our places are different places to stand. And you guys know I'm not going to take you to a ton of verses about the Lord describing his kingdom and his church as the body. Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. But I'll quote sections of them for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 4, all the members of the body do not have the same function. He also says, indeed, we are one body, but there are many members, and we are individually members of one another. So if we don't do our part, it affects everybody. And I know that seems like, I know that we're always preaching, hey, I'm going to do my part whether you do yours or not. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We got to just keep moving. But I just want you to know that we depend on each other when we're individually members of one another. We need each other. Your responsibilities to do what you're going to do are critical, no matter how minuscule they seem sometimes. Your name's on the board for cleaning the building, clean it. not difficult. Do it. Yeah, it seems minuscule, but it's really not, because the guy who has to clean up for you can't concentrate on his studies. It might be that simple, that silly, but it is what it is. I think that's where a lot of people like start to wave. We have this way of minimizing our position. You know, when we're not the preacher, or we're not one of the guys in the church, like, we have this way of maybe minimizing our roles and saying, oh, well, it's not really that critical I'm there, or it's really not that critical whether I do it, or not really critical whether I show up to that extracurricular event. Or that. I mean, we have these ways of minimizing it, and not even in that, but as much as just standing in our place. I want to encourage you not to compare yourself to other people and not to look whether somebody's better at something than you or not. But just stand in your place and do the work. Like I said, we're all created for the same purpose, and it's to bring glory to Him. Psalms chapter 96, verse 3 says, "Declare His glory among the nations and His marvelous deeds among all the people." Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4 says, "Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim the name as exalted." You guys know the text behind me on the board. That's why we're all here, right? Let's just narrow it down. We're all here to do that. I guess pertaining to whether you're one of the guys who stand up here, you're one of the guys who do classes or teaches another class or whatever it is, James chapter 3, verse 1 does a really good job not minimizing roles outside of the teacher. And he specifically says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that such we shall incur a stricter judgment." To me, that's a reference saying, if he says, "Let not many of you become teachers," it's an assumption that not many of you probably are going to become teachers. And that means just because you're not a teacher doesn't minimize anything else that you do. I know that's super elementary, but I feel like a lot of times we are really wrapped up in what our role is. And some people aren't productive because they don't set in their mind what their role is. They don't find it. They just float. They just sit in the church and participate, and they're here, and they're listening, and they're maybe getting things out of the messages in the pew, but that's their role. I don't want that to be. I want everybody to participate in the growth of the kingdom so that we can make a difference in the world. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read 22, 23, and 24. First Corinthians 12, starting in 22. Now, he had been talking about the body, and you remember that whole conversation. Oh, would the eye say to the ear, because I don't hear, I'm not important? Or the ear say to the eye, because I don't see, I'm not important? And then he gets to the 22nd verse. He says, "On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which is lacking." In verse 22, he says, "On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." That word translated necessary is not necessary. It's indispensable. We can't do it. They're indispensable. That means we can't do it without them. The members that seem to be those weaker members, they're not weaker members. They're indispensable souls of the kingdom. So any of the teachers that are here, if you have that mind frame that, I know that we don't, we do a really good job of, I think that we're a very cohesive group. I don't think we have that clergy laity mindset here. We just don't. I see it other places, but I'm really happy we don't. But I just want, man, I want to encourage you guys to make sure that every single soul, you're under the understanding that they're a contributor and they're indispensable. That includes you, if that's the way you feel. If you feel like you're dispensable, you're not. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says that we are working together with Him, capital H. I took this verse maybe not slightly out of context, but I'm using it for my purpose to achieve a thought. It's a really nice thought that I can think that I'm indeed maybe a worker together with God. I'm not a worker necessarily always for God, but to accomplish His purpose. That while I'm in God's scheme of things, something I might do might be small. It's not insignificant. But also, if I fail, my part goes undone, which is unproductive for the kingdom. I was thinking about something. Somebody had some shingles blow off, and an insurance guy came, Bob might be familiar with how this works. Gets the manufacturer of the shingle and gets a manufacturer representative there, and they investigate all these blown off shingles. And the manufacturer says, they were installed wrong. Sorry about your luck. And when I heard that story, I thought it was interesting because he said, well, there's a nail there and a nail there, but there's no nail there and there needs to be one there. On every shingle, it's like this. The system is not functional. It's out of warranty. And all I could think was, it's one nail. But the system hinged on the one nail in the shingle. Like, really? But that's it. It's one nail missing. If you got work to do for the church, I really want to encourage you to find your spot. Even if you're just one out of all those thousands of nails on the roof, it's important because it's a system. It's something we're doing together as a unified body to bring glory to Christ. And without you, it doesn't function the way that it's supposed to. And if you fail, is the roof still there? Yes. But the system doesn't work the way it was intended. So, I definitely want to encourage you to do that. I also want to encourage you to, oftentimes, don't feel like you have to be asked to do something in order to do it. I know that it's really nice to be available, and being available and being in position and being willing to do it are all super critical. It's about having good character, a good attitude, just getting things done. That's all a big part of it. But you don't have to be asked to participate. You're part of the kingdom. Man, just go to work. And I'll end with this text, Colossians chapter 3. You guys know this. I'm going to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I think this is the point that we all forget. Dude, why are we here? We just here because this is what we do, or are we here because we really believe that God is God and that being here is somehow going to derive the end result of bringing Him glory? That's really why we're all here. Chapter 3, verse number 17 says, whatever you do in word, the things you say, or deed, the things you do, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. Amen. We're here to bring glory to Him, and if we're not doing that, we're failing. Period. And that's individually in your own lives, in my life, and that's as a whole, as a group. So as we transition to the next step spiritually, the next step as a local body, and the next step as kingdom-minded people, Think about when you leave today, what your role is and whether you're fulfilling it. And if you're not, figure out what that role is and get to it. Stand in the place because the guy next to you needs you there. And we're going to do it. It's going to happen. You know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, we're going to look at each other and be like, man, things are really rolling. So glad it unfolded that way. Praise God. Let's pray.